Okay, this week we are learning Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel. This week is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and Omo Construction, as well as Bagel Munch in honor of his new granddaughter. And let's just jump right in because we have a lot. These Dafim are huge, a lot going on. And we are approaching, we're basically at the middle of the Masechta, the halfway point, and we are approaching the end of this Perek as well. So let's jump in on the bottom of Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. It is like seven lines down from the bottom. The first word is Afilu Hamelech Shoal Bishlomo Lo Yeshivenu. That we had said in our Mishnah that if you're davening, and even if a king comes and asks you and says Shalom, you should not respond to him. So Amar Rav Yosef Lo Shanu Ela Lemalche Yisrael Aval Lemalche Akum Posik. That's only talking about a Jewish king, but if it's a non-Jewish king, then you definitely should stop in the middle of your Shmona Esrei and respond to them, because it's actually dangerous. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, what do you mean Hamispalel V'ra Anas Ba'Kenegdo? If you see that there's a thief coming towards you and you're davening, or a Karon Ba'Kenegdo, you see a wagon, it's like you're in the middle of the street and it's like a car going right at you. So then you Lo Yehei Mafsik Ela Mekatzir Ba'Ola. So in these dangerous situations, it doesn't say to stop your Shmona Esrei right in the middle. It says that you should be Mekatzir. You should make an abridged version and then get out of the way and then protect yourself. So are you supposed to stop, or are you supposed to make a short and quickly finish up your Shmona Esrei in a shorter fashion? So Lo Kasha Hada Efshar Lekatzir, then you should, and if you can't, then you should not. So if you have the possibility of shortening your Shmona Esrei, then you should definitely go with that route. And if not, then just stop your Shmona Esrei right in its tracks to protect yourself from danger. The Gemara now tells us a story along that similar lines. Tana Rabbanan Maisa Bechassid Echad Shahaya Mispalel Baderech. There was once a chassid, a pious person who was davening Shmona Esrei in the middle of the road, and Bas Sar Echad, a non-Jewish Sar, a non-Jewish officer, came over to him. Menasan lo shalom, velo hichzir lo shalom. So the Tsar said shalom to this guy who was this chassid who's davening, and the person who's davening didn't respond. So him timlo achasiyim tfilaso. So the Tsar waited until this person finished davening, and laachar shasiyim tfilaso amarle reka. He said to you, you're a fool. Vahalo kasa b'toraschem. It says in your Torah, right? The non-Jewish officer says to this Jew who's davening, it says in your he's apparently very holding in psukim in Torah. It says in your Torah, in Parshas Vayeschanan, rak hishamalecha ushmor nafshecha. You should protect yourself. When I said to you shalom, why didn't you respond to me? Your Torah says to protect yourself from danger, and why didn't you respond to me? Im hayisi chotech roshcha b'saifar, cut off your head right here and right now. Mi haya toveya estamcha miyadi. No one would say a word. I'd be totally justified to kill you right here on the spot. So why didn't you respond to me? It was dangerous. Your Torah says to protect yourself. So amar le hamtein li asha epaischa bitvarim. The chassid says, give me a second. I'll explain myself. Amar Lei, he has said to him. The chassid explained himself. Ilu hayisa omi lefnei melech basar vadam. Imagine, sar, imagine non-Jewish officer. Imagine you were in front of the king, in front of the president, and then ba chavercha benasan lecha shalom, and your friend comes over and says, "Hey, how's it going?" Hayisa machzirlo. Would you respond to your friend? You're talking to the king. Would you respond to your friend? Amar Lei, love. Of course not. I wouldn't respond to him talking to the king. If you would respond to your friend, what would the king do to you? If they'd cut off my head. So the chassid responds and explains himself. It's a kal v'chomer. If we're in front of a king of flesh and blood who's here today, gone tomorrow, and kachani, and you wouldn't stop your conversation with him. I was in front of the Almighty, the King of all kings, the eternal King. Of course I shouldn't stop davening to my King, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and answer you. The Tsar said, good pshat, I agree, that's a good justification, and he let him be. It's a very interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim and Achronim about those psukim that the Tsar brought up. The Tsar apparently is very learned. He says, it says in your Torah, Raki Shamalecha Ushmor Nashcha, Veneshmartem Me'od Lenafsho Seichem. We know colloquially, we always use that pasuk, Veneshmartem Me'od Lenafsho Seichem, in terms of protecting ourselves and not putting ourselves in danger. The Marsha says, that's what the Tsar thought the pasuk means. But in reality, the Tsar is wrong. That's not what the pasuk actually refers to at all in its context. It's actually referring to the prohibition of forgetting one's Torah. But if you see the rest of the pasuk over there in Ba'is Chanan, it goes on saying, Raki Shamalecha Ushmor Nafshecha, you should remember the words of the Torah, Pen Tishkach, you shouldn't forget the Torah. That's what it means, Raki Shamalecha Ushmor Nafshecha. It doesn't actually mean, as we usually think, to protect yourself. That's what the Marsha says. The Tsar thought it was talking about Sakana, but the Tsar was wrong. Many of the Achronim point out that the Rambam seems to actually agree with the Sar. The Rambam quotes these psukim in the context, in Hilchos Ritzeach, the Rambam quotes it in the context of Sakanas Nefashos, of protecting oneself. And as Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov, in literally the very first page of his Perash Al HaTorah, he explains that perhaps these two really actually work together. Because in general, the Pasuk is telling us to protect ourselves, that we shouldn't put ourselves in danger. And what happens if you don't know, if you forget the Torah? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says in Perek Gimel, if you forget the Torah, HaShokheach Tavar Achad Nish Mishnaso, it's like your chayev misa. If you forget things from Torah, then you're going to make mistakes in halacha, and that's ultimately going to make you chayev misa. So if you, these two ideas really go together, it's talking about protecting yourself, and forgetting your learning is going to make you violate isurim. That's going to also shorten one's life. So it's, you should protect yourself physically and also by remembering the Torah and applying it correctly. Mark continues quoting from our Mishnah, Afilu nachash karach ala kevo, lo yafsik, even if there's a snake wrapped around your heel, you should not stop davening. Amar Rav Sheshes, lo shanu ala nachash, aval akrav posik. That's only talking about a snake. That's when you shouldn't stop davening. But for a scorpion, you definitely should stop, because scorpions are apparently more dangerous than snakes. Meisvei, the Gemara asks a question, nafa le gova rayos ein ma'idin alav shemes. If someone falls into a lion's den, then we cannot testify that he necessarily died, meaning if his wife wants to marry someone else, we can't say, oh, this person definitely died because he fell into a lion's den. It's not so 100%. But if he fell into a pit that was full of snakes or a pit that was full of scorpions, then we could assume that he definitely died. So we see that not only scorpions, but also snakes are also dangerous. So why don't you stop davening if there's a snake around your foot? The Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, the Agav Itzitza Maski. That's because you put pressure on the snakes when you fell on them. So of course they're going to be mad and they're going to hurt you. So if you fall into a pit of snakes, it's definitely going to hurt you. But if you're davening Shmoneh Esrei and it just slithers by, then that's not necessarily so dangerous, and you should not stop davening Shmoneh Esrei. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ra'a Shevarim Posek. If you see oxen that are nearby, you should also stop davening, because that's also dangerous. The Tanya Rav Oshia, Marchikin Mishor Tam Chamishim Amo, or Mishor Muad Kimale Eina. That's Rav Oshia explains that we should go far away from a shore that hasn't gored before. If a shore has seemingly safe, you should go away 50 amos from that shore, and from a shore Muad, a shore that has killed before, Kimale Eina, you shouldn't even be within its eyesight. Tanam Meshmei to Rabbi Meir, Reish Torah Bidikula. If you see the head of an oxen and it's eating food in its basket, and you see it's busy, so you should take advantage of that. And salik le'igra beshadi dar gamitosav. You should go up a ladder up to the roof and throw away a ladder. It's like an expression about, like, go so far away, you go up and you throw away the ladder. Literally, the ox is not, if you don't throw away the ladder, the ox is not going to go climbing up. But as an expression, you should go as far away as possible. It's like lock the door and throw away the key. Amar Shmuel, Hani Mili Beshor Shachor Uviyomi Nisan, Mepnesha Hasatan Miraki Lo Bain Karnov. Shmuel clarifies this is specifically by a Shor Shachor, a black ox, which is apparently more dangerous, and specifically in Yomi Nisan, in the springtime, is when the Satan is Meraki Lo Bain Karnov. The Satan is dancing around his horns. Rashi explains he can't fight his Yetzer Hara. Apparently, the ox has a Yetzer Hara, Rashi says. That's like also like using an expression. The Yetzer Hara is so strong for the ox in that period of time in the springtime, when there's all this nice grass and growing and everything. That's the particularly dangerous time for those types of oxen in that time of year. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa B'makom Echad Shahaya Arud. The Hayamazik Es Habrios. There was once a town where there was an arod. Rashi says an arod. We don't know exactly what it is. It's like a mix of a snake and a frog. We're just going to call it an arod. It was very dangerous, and everybody was getting injured by this arod. So Ba'ava Hodiolo Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa. They told Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa to get rid of it. So Amar Mahem Haruli Eschoro. Show me the hole where the arod lives. Haro'o Eschoro. They showed him where the arod lives. And Nasan Akevo Api Achor. He put his foot over that hole. And Yatsa Ben Nashcho. The arod came and bit Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa's foot. Umes Oso Arod. And the arod died. Not the Akatefo, he put it on his shoulder, and revealed the base medrash. He brought the arod, the dead arod, into the base medrash. Amalahem, Re'u Beni, Ein Arod Memis, Ela Hachet Memis. See, that it's not the arod that was killing anybody, it was the chet that was killing anybody, because I was a tzaddik who didn't have to worry about that, and the arod died right away. Boso Shah, Amru, Oilo La Adam, Shepagabo Arod. Woe to the person who saw this dangerous arod, but Oilo La Arod, Shepagaro Rechanina Vendosa. And woe to the arod that crosses paths with Rechanina Vendosa. That's the Gemara's discussion about the snakes and dangerous, the things that are dangerous, and the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. The Mishnah contains a very practical Mishnah as well. Maskirin Givuros Geshamim B'Tchias HaMesim. We mentioned Mashav HaRuach in the Bracha of Tchias HaMesim, in the Bracha of Mechai HaMesim. V'She'ela BeBerkas HaShanim. And the Saint HaLomatar we mentioned in the Bracha of Varech Aleinu. V'Havdalah. By Havdalah, there's a theory of Machlokes about when you should insert Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos into Shmoneh Esrei. The Mara says, the Mishnah says, Havdalah b'chonin hadas. The first opinion says that Havdalah goes into chonin hadas, atachonin. Rabbi Akiva omra b'bracha revius b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Akiva says it should be its own individual bracha. It'll be the fourth bracha of Shmon Esrei. You have your three introductory brachos in the beginning of Shmon Esrei, and before the bakashos, you should include the separate Havdalah bracha. Rabbi Eliezer omra b'hoda, you should say Havdalah in the bracha of modim. So is it chonin hadas? Is it its own bracha? Or is it said in modim? Gemara now goes through all these different things, Mashavah Ruach and Tehita Lamatar and Havdalah. So Gemara asks, Mas Kirin Giburos Geshamim Mai Taima. Why is Mashavah Ruach in Techiyas HaMesim? Amar Rav Yosef, Mitoksha Shekula Ketchiyas HaMesim, Lafikach Kavua Betchiyas HaMesim. Apparently, the rainfall is comparable in some way to Techiyas HaMesim. It supports us, it sustains us, it brings us to life, like Techiyas HaMesim. Therefore, it's in the bracha of Techiyas HaMesim. Also, the Gemara in the beginning of Tainis lists the various things that are specifically in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the three keys that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over, and two of those are rainfall and Techiyas HaMesim. So there is definitely some sort of linkage between the two. Why is the same Talamatar in Baruch Aleinu? Amar Rav Yosef, Betoch Shehi Parnasa, Lafikach Kavua, Beberchas Parnasa. We're asking for rain, and that's going to help us with our Parnasa. So therefore, it's very fitting to go in the bracha of Parnasa. Havdalah b'chonin adas my taima. Why is Havdalah in the bracha of chonin adas where we ask Hashem for wisdom? Amar Rav Yosef, mitoch shehi chachma, kavua beberchas chachma. Because Havdalah requires wisdom. It requires intellect to distinguish between two things. So therefore, it's very fitting to put that into the bracha of chachma where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wisdom. Another explanation, v'rabbanan amri, mitoch shehi chol, lefikach kavua beberchas chol. Since it's the Havdalah, that's the first bracha for the weekday, so we'll say it in the first weekday bracha, the first we say even on Shabbos. And now we get to Atachonin, the first bracha that's for the weekday. We'll mention Havdalah, which is our weekday bracha. Amar Rabbi Ami, Gedola Deya, Shenisna Betchilas Berchach Shalchol. We see how important Deya, wisdom is, because it's the first bracha that we make from our weekday brachos. Amar Rabbi Ami, Gedola Deya, Shenisna Bein Shtei Osios. Deya is also, it's fantastic, as we see, because it's between two Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenamar, Kikel Deyos Hashem. The word Deyos is between the word Kel and the word Hashem. So it's between two Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clearly we see things that are between two Shemos of Hashem are very significant. And that's the case with Deya. Nechol mi she'ein bo Deya, it's a very puzzling line. Nechol mi she'ein bo Deya, aser l'rachem alav. Anyone who doesn't have da'as, it's forbidden to have mercy on them. Shana mar ki lo am binos hu, al ken lo yirachamenu oseyu. The Ben Yoyada says it's definitely not literal. You can't just go saying anybody who is mentally handicapped, you could be mean to them because they don't have da'as. So aser l'rachem alav. That definitely requires some depth to understand exactly what the Gemara is getting out of here, but definitely don't take this. Don't try this at home. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gadol Mikdash, Shenasan Bein Beis Osios. Rabbi Elazar says also the word Mikdash is also found between two Shemos of Hashem, Shneamar Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem. As you say in Az Yashir, and the word Mikdash is between Hashem and Hashem, and as we said, just like Das, anything that's between two Shemos of Hashem, it's a very significant thing. So we have Da'as, and we have Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Deya, Ke'ilu Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'Yamav. Since these two things are clearly linked, Da'as and Mikdash, they both have the Shemus of Hashem surrounding them. So anyone who has Da'as, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in their days. Deya Nisna Bein Shtei Osios, Mikdash Nasan Bein Shtei Osios, because they both are between two Shemus Hashem in their respective psukim. Maske Flora Acha Karchina. Racha Karchina asks a very good question. He says anything that has the word Hashem before it and after it is a great thing. What about this one? Elamayata Gedola Nikama Shanasna Ben Sheyosios. Is having revenge, vengeance, is that also great? Because it's also between two Shemos of Hashem. Shanamar Kel Nikamos Hashem. We say Nikamos preceded by Kel, and afterwards you say Hashem. That's what we say in the Shir Shayom on Wednesday. Kel Nikamos Hashem is Nikama also great, just like Das and Mikdash, revenge. So Amalei In. He's like, yeah, exactly. B'milsa miha gedolahi. At the appropriate time, in the appropriate context, it is actually very important to have nikama, whether it's vengeance or other mefarshim, it's like just justice, giving everybody exactly as they deserve. Behind the Amar Ula, we'll get an example here from Ula. Shtenikamas halalu lama. Ula asks, why does the pasuk say nikama twice in that pasuk? It says kilnikamas Hashem, kilnikamos Sophia. What are the two nikamas? So achas letova, paachas lera. One was letova; it was a positive to Bnei Yisrael. I was going to explain the example. Paachas lera was in a negative respect to the umos haolam. Letova dechsev ofia mehar paran, lera dechsev kilnikamos Hashem, kilnikamos Hofia. So Rashi fills us in and explains. This pasuk, Hofia Mehar Paran, is a reference when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out to all the different umos ha'olam, all the different nations, and offered them the Torah, and they all said, no, I don't want the Torah because it has this mitzvah, it has that avira, and I can't keep these mitzvos. So as a result of them not accepting the mitzvah, the Torah, so Hashem had took nekama against them, and that nekama manifested itself in two ways. It was both letova, it was both in a positive way for Bnei Yisrael, that once they didn't accept the Torah, so in certain respects, their possessions were given away to Bnei Yisrael. We have certain ownership, or we're not held responsible if we damage them in certain ways. And also, it was also l'ra'ah, it also negatively was done towards them. Hashem also punished them for their decision to not accept the Torah. So that was an example of a nekama, which was both, which was appropriate. Hashem took nekama against the Goyim for not accepting the Torah. That's an example of where nekama is appropriate, and therefore that's why it is fitting to be between two shemos of Hashem, because nekama is a wonderful thing in the appropriate context. So we had the explanation of why we say Mashav Aruach, why we say Sitalamatar and Havdalah in their various parts of Shmona Esrei, and we had Das and Mikdash and Nekama, which are all between two Shemos of Hashem. There's also another explanation in the Yerushalmi as to why Havdalah is in Atachonin. It's a very clever one. The Yerushalmi says, in general on Shabbos we don't make bakashos. We leave out all those bakashos of Shmona Esrei, atachonin, barech alinu, slach lanu. We don't say those on Shabbos. We're not supposed to make bakashos. It can be depressing to realize all the things that we're lacking on Shabbos. So we leave out the bakashos on Shabbos. And so now Shabbos is over. It's Mariv. So we want to say, we want to daven Mariv. We want to get to atachonin, and you say, hey, wait a second. I can't say atachonin. I didn't do Avdalah yet. So the Yerushalmi says, that's how you say Avdalah in the very first bracha, not because it's because of wisdom and it's like wisdom, but it's practically you want to make the bakashos, and so but you didn't say Avdalah yet. So you have to say Avdalah right before you make any of the bakashos, brachos, in Shemona Esrei. And the Gra explains beautifully, it actually works out very nicely, because most of the brachos, it wouldn't work out too well. Because for example, Slach Lanu, and Baruch Aleinu, and Rifa'inu, it always begins immediately with the bakasha. Atachonin is one of the few brachos where it just starts off with, Atachonin, you happen to be the God who gives us, wisdom, so you haven't actually made any bakashos yet. So it's perfect. You can start off the bracha of wisdom, say atachon antam das, then you say your havdalah. Once you've said havdalah atachon antanu, now you say v'chaneinu meitcha devina vaskel. You can now make the bakasha and ask Hashem for wisdom. So that's a key of both of these different answers, that the Bavli to say it in the bracha of wisdom, and also the Yerushalmi to make sure you say that bracha on that havdalah before you begin the bakasha part of Shmona Esrei, make the bakashos only after Shabbos is over. Gemara continues with the Shita Rabbi Akiva Omer, Bracha Revius, again talking about when exactly you should say Havdalah in Shmona Esrei. Three different opinions. We have the opinion of what we say, which is Nechone Adas. Rabbi Akiva says make it its own individualized Bracha. Rabbi Eliezer says you say it in Modin. Samara says, "Omer Rav Shimon bar Abba leRav Yochanan michti Anshiknes Zagdola tiknu lehem liYisrael brachos v'tfilos kiddushos v'havdalos." The Anshiknes Zagdola are the ones who instituted all these brachos and tfilos for us. So what's the question? Nechze heichan tikun. Let's just check what was their takana. What did they say to do? We daven the things that they told us to do. So when they told us all the davenings, what did they say to put havdalah? They must have told us something. Interesting, we don't always ask this question. We don't always ask. We have machloksim throughout Shas all the time. We don't always ask, hey, like, why is everybody arguing? Like how do we forget what the original takana was? But we have this also in the order of the parshios for tefillin. This machlokes Rashi Minutam about which, in your tefillin batim, what should be the order of the various parshios. So some people have put on a Minutam tefillin, it's the same. Everything that's tefillin is the same, just the order of the parshios inside the batim are different. So people ask, how is there a machlokes about this? Like, until Rashi and Arvinatam made their opinions, what was inside? Let's open them up and see what's inside. Like, how do you get to this machlokes about what the order is of the tefillin? And so the Gemara is asking that question over here. You have a... Yeah, so the Prisha says that they found tefillin that followed like their Arvinatam. Is that mashma that's like your Arvinatam? So, Rav Mendel Kasher, he has a Sefer Torah Shlema, which is like 1,000 volumes over here somewhere, where he explains that perhaps before they made a takana that you have to have parshas in a certain order, it was a free-for-all. You could just do whatever you wanted. So for a while, Everyone just, yeah, as long as you have them all, just put them in any order you want to. And then there was a takana, okay, guys, everybody, you have to put it in this order. So some people got the message and they got the memo and they put it in the right order. Some people just did what they did until now. So then for everybody, you have half the people who are doing whatever the takana was, and half people are just kind of having whatever order they wanted. So you kind of got confused. And that's why you find a rabbinic Townsville, and it's like, well, maybe that was from a long time ago. So maybe that's when everybody, that was a free for all. That's his approach. But this, we have this kind of question about, like, what's everybody arguing about? Like, why doesn't anyone just know? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah also has machlokes about, like, what exactly the trua is supposed to sound like when you blow the shofar. So, like, the thing of Haigon asks, like, what are we arguing about? Like, what were they doing until now? Like, there must have been a certain way that the people were acting. So Tosos in earlier on Chaf Beis, I think, where the Gemara asks a similar question about the Kanas Ezra, Tosos explains that the Gemara doesn't always ask this question, but about things that happen all the time, like tefillin, you wear tefillin all the time. Havdalah happens every week. So these are the things that people are wondering, like scratching our heads. How did everybody forget? Like, what were we doing until the question was asked? That's the Gemara's question over here. Why don't we just check what that takana was? And Gemara gives a very good answer. Amalei betchila kavua betfila. You're right. At first, it was established. Ashkenaz Sagdola put it into our tefila. But then he'eshiru and kavua alakos. Then people got more wealthy and they had money to buy wine, and they decided to instead make the bracha havdala on wine to give it more chashivas. So for a while, no one was saying it in their tefillah. And then, hanu chazru v'kavua b'tefillah, and then everybody got poor again, and they said, we can't afford wine, so let's put it back into our tefillah. And now everybody doesn't remember anymore. It's been a long time since we had this whole tefillah thing, so that's how the question came to be, because there was a gap in when people actually were saying it in tefillah. So they decided to put it back into tefillah, and we, of course, do both, as we're going to explain. V'heim amru right now, hamavdil b'tefillah, tzarech sheyavdil alakos. Now that we put it back into our tefillah, and we, again, have wine, we're not going to go back and forth wine in tefillah versus at home on a coast. Instead, we're just going to do it, we're going to do both, ba'dil b'tefillah, tzarech sheyavdil alakos. You should both make havdalah in tefillah, in chunan adas, as we would practically do, as well as alakos. Mar says it again. It marnami. In case you weren't listening, I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Amar Rav Yochanan. Ashkenaz Zagdola tiknu lehem leYisrael brachos tefilos kedushos ve'avdolos betchila kavua betfila ha'ashiru kavua alakos chazru v'hanu kavua betfila v'heim amru amadlo betfila tzarech sheyavdil alakos. That same story. They were rich. They were wealthy. They were rich and etc. And poor and etc. And eventually they decided to make it. You have to do it both in tefila and alakos. It marnami. Rabbi bar Rav Yosef. The Ami Trabayu. Hamadil betfila tzarech sheyavdil alakos. One who makes havdalah in tefila has to make havdalah alakos as well. Amar Rava umasavino nashmaitzin. You can ask the question on us from the following. Tav alo hiskir gevuras geshamim betchias hamesim v'she'el v'berchas hashanim machzirin oso. If you forgot to say mashav aruach in chaya mesim or sin talomatar in baruch aleinu machzirin oso, you have to repeat shmona esrei. Or if you're in middle of Masrei, you can just go back. But Havdalah b'chunan adas in machzirin oso. If you forgot Havdalah and chunan adas, you don't go back. Mepneisha yachol leomra al hakos. Because you always have the option. Yachol sounds like you have the option to make it al hakos. So that sounds like you have the option of either making it in tefillah or making Havdalah al hakos. So what do you mean? We say you have to do both. And here it sounds like it's an option. So no, lo tem mepneisha yachol leomra al hakos. Not because you shouldn't say that the lashon shouldn't have been that you have the option to make it al hakos. Ela ema mepneisha omra al hakos. Because you're inevitably going to say it alakos, because as we said, everybody says it both in Fila and alakos. It my name, I'm Rabbi Binyan Yefes. Shal Rav Yosi asked Rav Yochanan Betzidon. Vamila Rav Shimon ben Yaakov de Minsur asked Rav Yochanan. Somebody asked Rav Yochanan. Va'anash ma'is, and I heard. The question was, Amavdil betfila, tzar sheyavdil lo alakos o lo. If made Avdallah during davening, do you have to make Avdallah again alakos? Va'amalei, tzar sheyavdil alakos. Again, we see everybody agreeing that if you make Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, you also, when you get home, have to make Havdalah alakos. And also for us practically, because you have women at home who didn't daven Ma'ariv and say Havdalah, so you have to say it at home alakos anyway. But even without that, you have to make Havdalah alakos as well. Gemara now asks the opposite question. Let's say you made Havdalah alakos on a cup of wine, you made Havdalah, and I guess you didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. Do you then have to also make Havdalah again in Shmona Esrei? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kavachomer mitfila. Of course, it's a Kavachomer from tefila. The Iker Takana was to make Havdalah in Shmona Esrei. And if you did that, the main thing, in Shmona Esrei, you still have to make it again ala kos. So of course, Hamadal ala kos to lav Iker Takantahi, lokol shekein. Of course, if you did the secondary Takana of making Havdalah on a cup of wine, of course you should still also need to do the Iker, the main thing of making it as well, in Shmona Esrei itself. So again, bottom line, you say both in Shemona Esrei as well as on a cup of wine at home. Tani Rav Acha Aricha Kameder Rav Chinina Hamadil Betfila Meshubach Yoser Mimisha Yavdil Alakos. It's greater to make Havdalah in Tefila than one who makes Havdalah Alakos. Sounds like you have the option. You have one guy who said it in Davening, one guy who said it in Alakos. The guy who said it in Davening is greater. Vimhivdil Bezu Bezu Yanuchu Lo Brachos Arosho. If you do it both in Shemona Esrei and at home, then you're going to have a lot of brachos. That's a fantastic thing to do. The Gemara says Hagufa Kasha. It sounds like it's contradicting itself. Amar Tamad Lebitfila Meshubach Yosrim Mishahivdil Alakos Alma Tefila Lechuda Sagi. At first, it sounds like you have the option of doing it either Alakos or in Shemona Esrei. But Hadar Tani Im Hivdil Bezu Bezu Genuchu Lo Brachos Arosho. Then it says if you do it both, that's the best thing to do. But Kiman Tanufik Le Bechada Ifter. And once you already made it, and let's say in Shemona Esrei, you're already Pater. You've already exempted yourself. But Havi Bracha Shein Etzricha to make it again would be a Bracha Levatala to say the Bracha of Havdalah if you're already Yotzei. So are you able to do both, or are you actually Yotzei the first time? Amaravi Timar Eish Lakish Amar Rav Yochanan Eish Lakish Shami Trabai. And as we say, it's a very serious thing. If you make a bracha that was unnecessary bracha, you violate lo sisa. It's of isur d'oraisa of saying Hashem's name in vain. So ella emahachi im hibdil bezu v'lo hibdil bezu yanuchu lo brachos al rosho. Rather saying the ikker thing to do is to make Havdalah in Shemona Esrei, and if you did Havdalah in Shemona Esrei as opposed to just doing it at home, then you're going to get brachos. It's going to be a great thing to do. So that's the opinion over here. But again, as we said, most of the time, everybody assumes you should make it both in shul as well as at home. We've mentioned the rule of bracha she'ein etzricha, that if you make a bracha that was unnecessary. So colloquially, when you say bracha she'ein etzricha, we're referring to like making brachos that you didn't need to make in the first place. So like, for example, if you washed and you said hamotzi and like you're eating a meal and you want to eat a cracker, so to specifically bench and then make a new mizonos on that cracker is a bracha she'ein etzricha. It's an unnecessary bracha. That would be a bracha that you would didn't need to do, and you put yourself in a situation that you did that. That's like a bracha levatala, but that's what we refer to really as a bracha she'ein etzricha. And the Shla says actually that on Shabbos, when we have a day, every single day we're supposed to make 100 brachos every single day, and it's hard on Shabbos because you have less brachos in your Shemona Esrei. So the Shla says perhaps you're allowed to do that on Shabbos and to, you know, bench and then make more brachos because you want to make sure that you hit that 100 bracha quota. But generally speaking, bracha she'ein etzricha means you don't want to make sure you don't create for yourself unnecessary brachos. If, for example, if you hold that you only have to make one bracha on your tefillin shal yada and tefillin shal rosh, so to make a hefsek in between and to require a bracha on each of them would also be creating unnecessary brachos. But our Gemara's context actually is really just referring to bracha levatala, which is when we, as we all know, if you make a bracha, if you say Hashem's name and you didn't need to, you said a bracha that was an incorrect bracha, you said Hashem's name in vain, that's what we refer to as bracha levatala. And the Gemara says very strongly that you violate lo sisa. You violate one of the aseres hadibros by saying a bracha levatala. And it's very strange, because I would say, like, a guy who's walking on the street and saying terrible things about Hashem, and he's saying Hashem's name, he's cursing Hashem, like, that guy is being lo sisa Hashem, Hashem lakach lashav. But me, I said, that everything should be in accordance with Hashem's word, and I'm like saying beautiful things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm violating an Isser D'oraisa. So it's a machlokas in Rishonim is that saying a bracha levatala actually a violation of saying Hashem's name in vain. The Rambam says that it actually is a concrete Isser D'oraisa. And Ben Utam says that no, it's not actually an Isser D'oraisa. An Isser D'oraisa would be saying something, you know, like saying Hashem's name completely unnecessary. But to say a bracha levatala, where you say great things about Hashem, would not be a violation of an Isser D'oraisa. That would only be a violation of an Isser D'rabbanan. So it's important to know, is bracha levatala, when you say a bracha that was not that you shouldn't have said, is that a violation of an Isser D'oraisa or an Isser D'rabbanan? Rabbi Avadya Yosef says that perhaps this actually aligns perfectly with a different machlokas between the Rambam and Ben Utam. Again, the Rambam says bracha levatala is an Isser D'oraisa, and the Rebbeinu Tam says it's only an Isser D'rabbanan. They also have a difference in opinion about women making a bracha on a mitzvah seh shazman grama. So women are exempt from time-bound mitzvos. Let's say a woman wants to volunteer and she wants to shake lulav. So does she make a bracha on that mitzvah? So Sfaradim don't. They follow the Rambam. The Rambam says, no, women, if they volunteer and mitzvah seh shazman grama, they shouldn't make a bracha. And Ashkenazim, women would make a bracha when they volunteer and mitzvah seh shazman grama. And at the Shita of Rebbeinu Tam, that women, when they volunteer mitzvah seh shazman grama, they make a bracha. So Rabbi Yosef says perhaps these two machloksim align with one another. The Rambam says bracha levatala is a very serious issue. That's an iser d'oraisa. So when women want to volunteer for a mitzvah and perhaps say a bracha that they shouldn't be saying, that's an iser, perhaps an iser d'oraisa, they shouldn't make a bracha when they volunteer for mitzvahs that they aren't really chayiv in. But for Rabbeinu Tam says it's only an iser d'rabanan bracha levatala. So we're going to have more flexibility when it comes to women volunteering in this bracha. Well, is it really an iser d'oraisa over here? Not necessarily. For Rabbeinu Tam, it's only an iser d'rabanan. So it wouldn't be as weighty of an issue. So that's why Rabbeinu Tam says that women do make a bracha when they volunteer. Amitza say, Shazman Grama. You see, we're not saying the full real Shem Hashem. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it seems crazy to be really as severe as being Losis Hashem Hashem Lachalashav. But I have seen Rabbi Yosef say that even if you're going to say it's a derabanan, it's a very strong derabanan. It definitely has some heavy weight, which comes up when you have questions of like, should I violate this derabanan? So like my favorite question that comes up is that let's say it's a fast day, let's say it's Tisha B'Av, and you wake up in the morning, you forgot it's Tisha B'Av, and you say you have a cup of water, and you say Baruch Hashem Kemachlam Shah Kol Nei B'Dvaro, and before you take a sip, you're like, oh shoot, it's Tisha B'Av, I'm going to violate Tisha B'Av right now. So what are you supposed to do? So you have different things to figure out. How bad is it to take a sip on Tisha B'Av, and also how bad is it to make a bracha levatala? If I don't take a sip, I said a bracha levatala. So that's what you have to know. Like, how bad is bracha levatala? And also, is Baruch Shem, like people say Baruch Shem after a bracha levatala? Like, does that make it like a clean slate, like nothing ever happened? So a lot of things to say. It's like, when you have to wait out, like, should I say this bracha levatala or not? Like, which can actually come up. So it's important to know, like, is it a deraisa? Is it a derabanan? Is it a strong derabanan? Like Rav Avadja says in that context. But anyway, that's super author. So back. So Havdalah. So the very last line of the Amlam Gimlam and Aleph is a, for me, it was very interesting because I didn't know this halakha existed. The Gemara says, Ba Miner Rav Chisda Miner Rav Sheshes, Ta'a Bezu Ubezu Mahu, which we're going to explain what does that mean. It's very unclear. Rashi doesn't even quote what that means. Amar Le, Ta'a Bezu Ubezu Chozer La Rosh. If you forgot to say Havdalah, you messed up in your Shmona Esrei Havdalah and in your Havdalah Alakos, then Chozer La Rosh, you should repeat Shmona Esrei. So what's that talking about? So the Rosh explains, that's talking about someone who forgot to say, listen, this is very, I didn't know this is a halakha. It's in Shulchan Aruch explicitly. Maybe everybody else knows, and I'm just the only person who doesn't know anything, which is very possible. In Shulchan Aruch it says, let's say somebody forgot to say Havdalah in Shmona Esrei. You forgot to say Atachan Antanu, that's fine. You'll say Havdalah Alakos. Let's say you ate before you made Havdalah Alakos. If you forgot to make, before you forgot Havdalah in Shul in Shmona Esrei, and when you get home, before Havdalah, you make it home for everybody at home, you ate something, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. Usually, if you forgot Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, that's fine. As we said, you're going to say Havdalah at home later. But if you ate by accident before you said Havdalah Alakos, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei again. I think that seems to be a clear-cut halakha. It's a question if you did malacha before Havdalah Alakos, is that the same thing? Probably not. But if you eat specifically before you made Havdalah Alakos and you forgot Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, you have to repeat your Mariv again a second time. And that's perhaps this halacha of ta'a bezu o bezu. Only Ravina la Rava hilcha samai. What's the halacha? Bottom line, do you say Havdalah both in shul and alakos? Amalei ki kiddush. Ma kiddush afagad de mikadesh bitzlosa mikadesh akasa. Just like by kiddush, do you say Havdalah, you say kiddush in shul and on a cup? So to Havdalah, nami afagad de mazil bitzlosa madil akasa. You're going to also say Havdalah both. Even though you're saying it in shul, you're going to also say it alakos when you get home. That can, partially concludes our discussion about Havdalah. The Gemara continues on a specific situation of Havdalah. Right, let's think about, we're talking about saying Havdalah in Atachonin as we usually do. Let's say Sunday is Yontif. So you're not going to say Atachonin in your Ma'ariv Shmona Esrei at all. So then what do you do? So that's the Gemara's question over here. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Behoda. Rabbi Zera Hava Rachiv Chamra. Here, Rabbi Zera was riding on a donkey. Hava Kashakel Ba'azel Rav Chia Bar Avin Basrei. Rav Chia Bar Avin was behind him. Armalei Vade Dam Risu Mishmid Rav Yochanan. Halacha Rabbi Eliezer Beyom Tov Shechal Lios Achar HaShabbos. Is it true that we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, that if it's Yontif, Shechal Lios Achar HaShabbos, if Sunday is Yontif, so there's no Atachonin, so then you pass like Rabbi Eliezer to say Havdalah in Modim? So Amalei in. Like, yep, that's exactly what we paskin. So the Gemara asks, Halacha Mechla de Pligi. It sounds like saying Halacha, we follow Rabbi Eliezer. The Halacha sounds like there are other opinions out there. So who are the other opinions? Velo Pligi, Vahal Pligi Rabbanan. The Gemara says, what do you mean? There are other opinions. There's also the Rabbanan who say to say it in Atachonin. No, Emma de Pligi Rabbanan Bishari Mos Hashana. That's only by other days of the week, other parts of the year when Sunday has an Atachonin. But Biyom Tov, Shechal Yosachar HaShabbos, Mi Pligi. When Sunday is Yantif, there is no Atachonin. So of course they're going to agree you should say it in Modim like Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, wait, Vahal Pligi Rabbi Akiva. There are are still other opinions, because there's also Rabbi Akiva who said it should be its own individual bracha, a bracha revius. So no, atu kol hashana kula miabdinan ka Rabbi Akiva. The whole year we never act like Rabbi Akiva. The hashta niku v'navid kavasei, then now we're going to follow Rabbi Akiva and say havdala as its own individualized bracha. It makes no sense, because kol hashana kula, my time alo avdinan ka Rabbi Akiva, throughout the year, how come we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva? Because the Tam Nisari Tikun Tishasri Lo Tikun. They only instituted 18 brachos in Shmoneh Esrei, or perhaps 19, but not an additional bracha. You can't go adding an additional 19th bracha, Havdalah, on your own. We added another one as we had earlier, Lamashin, and we had a pasuk to support that. But you can't just go adding in your own bracha for Havdalah to add it into the mix. There was a specific takana of the number of brachos. You can't go adding them in. So that problem, which exists throughout the year, also exists when Sunday is Yontif. Hachanami Shev Tikun Tamni Lo Tikun. So to over here on Yantif Shmoneh Esrei, they only instituted 7 brachos, and not for you to go adding an 8th bracha into your Shmoneh Esrei. So again, we have this, I guess like a question. Why did it say that there's a halacha that we passed like Rabbi Eliezer? It seems like everybody agrees. The Rabbanim would agree. There's no atachonin, so of course say it in modin. And Rabbi Akiva, he disagrees, but we never passed like Rabbi Akiva because you can't go adding in brachos. So Amar le, lav halacha itmar, ela matin itmar. You're right, he didn't say the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. Halacha sounds firm, like we passed like him as opposed to someone else. No, he didn't say that. Ela matin itmar. It said that we are inclined to follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Itmar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Amar Mishum Rabbeinu Halacha Ta'amila Matin. That some said it was that he said Halacha, a firm lashon, and some said that he said Matin, that we are inclined. Rav Yochanan Amar Modim. Rav Yochanan said that he said that Modim Eliezer, that everybody agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. And Rav Chia Bar Avin Amar Nirin, that what he really said, it wasn't Halacha, it wasn't Matin, it wasn't Modim. He said Nirin, that the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer appears to be true. What do all these different lashonos even mean? Rashi goes through all the different halacha and matin and modin and nirin. They all seem to be saying we pass like this opinion. So how exactly are they different? So Rashi explains that halacha is, as we said, that we actually paskin like this and we'll publicize it to the masses. But if we let everybody know, this is exactly how we paskin. Matin is that we are inclined to follow this shita, that we pask in this way, but it's not something that's appropriate to be publicized. But that's how we would, if someone came and asked us the shayla individually, that's what we would tell them to do. Modim means that there's no question, everyone agrees. And nirin means you don't even pask in that way, but if you already acted like that shita, b'dieved, you can rely on the fact that you followed this shita. So those are the different options, the different lishonos of how to paskin. Halacha, modim, matin, and nirin. And I'm Rabbi Zera, nakot, Rabbi Chia bar Abba biyarcha. Out of all these, we had a question about, someone said we passed like Rabbi Eliezer. Did he say halacha? Did he say matin? Did he say nirin? So Rabbi Chia bar Abba said that he said that the lashon was nirin, Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Zera tells us, you should follow that one. Rabbi Chia bar Abba is probably right. Why? The dayak the gamar shmaitse mipuma demara shapir. He was very careful to learn exactly the particular words that his Rebbe taught. Just like Rachba the Pumbedisa, the Amar Rachba, Amar Yehuda, Harabaya Stav Kafal Haya, Vahaya Stav Lefnim Mistav. So totally tangential. Rachba was also a person who was very particular in the wording that his Rebbe used. He would use the exact wording that when his Rebbe described Harabaya as having Stav Kafal, these benches within benches, different rows of benches and by Harabaya, he used a particular word of Stav, which is an unusual word. Rashi points out the usual word of the Mishnah is Itzdaba, but he used the Lashon, the words of his Rebbe, to say Stav, because that's what his Rebbe did. So to Rabbi Chia also was very particular in the specific words that were used by his Rebbe. Amr of Yosef. So Anna, lo hayadana, falo hayadana. Right? You're probably all wondering, we don't do this. We don't say Abdallah when Yantif is Sunday and there's no atachonin to put Abdallah into. We don't put it into modim. So we follow the following. I don't know if he said halacha or matin. Elamid Rav Shmuel Yadana the takinu lan marganisa bebavel. Rav Shmuel established a gem for us in Bavel. The following bracha, which you should insert into Yishmoneh Esrei. But Odienu Hashem Elokeinu et mishpatei kacha. But Hashem should teach us His mishpatim et talmidinu lasos chukei ritzanacha, and also His chukim. He should give us these different times, these different yamim tovim, and the karbanos chagiga. Atarishenu kedusha Shabbos, v'kedu kavod moed. The chagiga is haregel, and he gave us the kedusha of Shabbos and moed and regel. Ben kedusha Shabbos, kedusha yom tov bevdalta. He distinguished between the kedusha of Shabbos and yom tov. That's a mashvish is memase kidashta, and he sanctified Shabbos out of all the days of the week. Vedalta v'kidashta is amcha yisrael bekedusha secha, and he separated and sanctified us, Klal Yisrael. But and then you should continue. batitalano vechule. So that's what we actually do. This bracha of batodienu, or this paragraph of batodienu, is inserted into our Shmona Esrei when Yontif falls out on Sunday, and so Motzei Shabbos there is no atachonin. You say this bracha of batodienu. It's a very interesting line in the Marasha that in this lashon of Atodienu we mention Chagei Nedava, these voluntary Karbanos Chagiga. So we actually learned Chagiga not too long ago, right? In Daf HaShavu, on Mishnechas Chagiga, there's a Karban called the Karban Chagiga. That's not voluntary at all. That's a required Karban for us to bring. What's the Chagei Nedava? The Marasha says for us in Chutz La'aretz, Yom Tov Sheni is like the Nedava. It's like the voluntary Chagiga that we are referring to. It's not. I mean, I don't feel like it feels so voluntary to me. So if not, people give other explanations. Ahal Rav Soloveitchik says that it's perhaps referring to the fact that when any day when someone brings a karban, there are halachos, like you're supposed to, hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll know very soon, we bring our karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, there are halachos you're supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to fast, you're not supposed to give hespedim, you're supposed to treat it like a yontif. So perhaps all of our voluntary karbanos are going to be treated like a yontif. That's what it's perhaps referring to as well. So that was all of our Habdallah discussion. What? Yeah.
9 days
yeah. And let's keep going. The Mishnah now says, "Ha'umer al kan sipur yagiru rachamecha v'al tov yizacher shemecha modim modim mishtakin oso." Various things that people say, we should quiet them down. They shouldn't be saying those things. So if someone says that the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, of sending away the mother bird, that's Hashem showing his rachmanos, his mercy on the mother bird, that's not an appropriate thing to do. Also, if you say, "Al tov yizacher shemcha," that Hashem is the one who gives us all these great things, but Hashem isn't the one who gives us the bad things. We don't thank Hashem for the bad things. That's also inappropriate to say, as well as modim, modim, to say the word modim twice. So the Gemara is going to explain. Bishlama modim, modim, mishtakinos al mishum de mechse kishtei vishuyos. If you say modim, modim, it sounds like there are two gods you're talking to. So that's definitely, you shouldn't say that. So if you hear a guy saying that, mishtakinoso, you should shut him up. And va'al tov yizacher shemecha nami. If you say al tov yizacher shemecha, it's also not good, because mashma ala tova velo ala ra. It sounds like you're thanking Hashem for the good, but not for the bad. Bithan, it says in the Mishnah, I think it's later on in Mesechas Brachos, chai vadam levarech ala ra, kishishim levarech ala tova. You're supposed to think, make a bracha on the bad, just like you make a bracha on the good. You're supposed to acknowledge Hashem as one who gives us everything in our lives, and even the bad things that Hashem gives us are really for in our best interest and what is necessary for us in our lives. We have to acknowledge everything comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So those two things, I get why they're bad. Ela al kanti bar yigir rachamecha my taima. Why can't you say that shiluach hakan, to send away the mother bird, is in order for Hashem to show rachmanus on the bird? So pligiba chamarai, there's machlokes and two amarain, bemarava. Rav Yosi Baravin, Rav Yosi Bar Zavida, they have machlokes. Chadam arme b'nei shematil kinab ma'aseh breishes. One says because it's like you're gonna cause fighting amongst the various animals. Hashem only had rachmanas on the mother birds and not on the donkeys and the camels. That's not fair. Why is Hashem picking and choosing? So that's one reason why you shouldn't say that. That's why the reason for Khan Sipur, for Shiluach HaKan, is to, out of mercy. Bechadam ar, this is, a bit more relevant. You're making a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos that they're out of rachmim and out of mercy. No, they're gzeros. So we don't understand the reasons behind mitzvos, that we can try to make them up, but really they're ultimately gzeros. You shouldn't give reasons behind mitzvos and say that's why Hashem made this mitzvah. No, Hashem made a mitzvah because he decreed that's what is necessary for the world to run, and we can't go just deciding the thinking that Hashem had behind making that mitzvah. Rabba once heard someone said that you should have mercy on the mother bird, so too you should have mercy on us. And I'm a Rabba. That's a great feel. What a good thing that person was doing in their Shmoneh Esrei. That's not a good thing. You're supposed to quiet that guy if he says something like that. He says Shuluch HaKan for Hashem to give mercy to the mother bird. So Rabba Nami lechaduli la'abaye hu debay. Rabba also knew that. He was just trying to test Abaye to see if he would budge when he heard someone saying such a tefillah. So this like rings a little off, like to hear that I'm not supposed to think about the reasons behind mitzvos. We do that all the time. There's a sefer called the Sefer HaChinuch, which goes through every single mitzvah and explains the reasons behind those mitzvos. So the Rishonim talk a lot about this discussion of tamei mitzvos. I think the general assumption is that it's necessary for us to think about reasons behind mitzvos so that we can connect to those mitzvos appropriately, and it's definitely a good exercise. But to say that that's the reason why Hashem made this decision, that that's what we're supposed to do, is because of what we figured out, that's probably not the case. We should view all the mitzvos as chukim. But to figure out the reasons why mitzvos, to help us connect to them, is definitely important. I think Rabbi Yeruchim says that we say tamei mitzvos, they're called tamei mitzvos, not just like tam like reason, but tam like taste, to give them flavor. They're ways of getting us excited and more appreciative of mitzvos that we do every single day. Let's go finish off. How did Nachis come to Rabbi Chanina? There was a person in front of Rabbi Chanina. Amar Hakel Agadol Agibor VaHanara HaAdir VaHaAzuz VaHayarui HaChazak VaHaMitz VaHavadai VaHanechbad. There was a person who was saying Shmoneh Esrei. He started off with the general things that we usually say Hakel Agadol Agibor, and he started to add in his own adjectives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So him Tinlo Hashasayim. So Rabbi Chanina waited for the person to finish, and Kisayim, when he finished thinking of ways to describe Hashem, Amalei Simtinu LeKulu Shivki Demarach. Did you really describe Hashem in every single word possible? You could describe Hashem. Describe Hashem in many more words and praise Him in many more ways. Lamali kulehai. Why'd you stop there? Anan hani tlasta aminan. Even the three things that we say, akela gadol, hagibur, the various words that we say, aminan ilav da aminu and Moshe Rabbeinu be'oraisa v'anshenasayis gadola v'tikninu v'tfila lo habinin yacholim l'meimarlehu. We wouldn't be able to say the things that we do about Hashem Baruch Hu if it wasn't because someone gave us a script to say these words in your Shmoneh Esrei. You can't go and now you're going to go adding things in. Ta'ata mart kulehai v'azalt. You'd be added in more words. And then you stop at a certain point. So that's embarrassing. That's inappropriate. Mashallah Melech Basavadam. So Hayolo Alef Alafim Dinari Zavton, who had a king, who had thousands and thousands of gold. But Hayo Makalsino Sal Bishal Kesev, and you praise him for the silver that he has. Hayolo Ganayolo. It's very disparaging to say that about a king. So to Hashem, you'd be spending all day in Shmoneh Esrei. You'd be in shul all day if you want to think of all the different ways that you can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's impossible. So we just do the words that the Anshei Nesach Gedolah gave us. We acknowledge we can't do anything more. We can't do anything less. Even to say less implies that's it. And that's embarrassing or inappropriate to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we just say the words that the Anshei Nesach Gedolah gave us in our tefillah. Stop here?
No, we have a few more.
Should we keep going? Should we go to the Mishnah?
Let's stop.
Okay, trying to decide. Going to the Mishnah or 45? 45 minutes. Okay, so let's keep going a bit more. I'm Rabbi Chanina. There's a lot of very important stuff. As we'll see, that everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu except for Yira Shamayim. How Rashi says, how tall you are, how short you are, how good you are at basketball, these are all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Yira Shamayim is up to us individually. That Hashem asks of us just for to have Yiras Hashem. And the Gemara asks, Atu Yiras Shamayim Milsa Zutartihi? Is Yiras Shamayim such an easy thing? It says, but all Hashem asks you for is to have Yiras Shamayim. Is that so easy? That's all Hashem asks us for? It's a very difficult thing. That's what Hashem keeps in His treasury, is Yiras Shamayim. It's a very lofty thing. It's a very difficult thing. Why is it just being referred to as like an easy thing for anybody to get Yiras Shamayim? So Gemara says, well, who is talking in that pasuk? That was Moshe talking. This is in Parshas Ekev, I believe. That was Moshe talking to Bnei Israel. And in the Gabe Moshe, Milsa Zotarti. For Moshe, Yiras Shamayim is a pretty easy thing to accomplish. Then Rabbi Chanina, Mashallah Adam Shemavakshim Emenu Kli Gadol the Yeshlo, Dome Alavka Kli Katan. If someone asks you for a big Kli and you have it, it feels like a small Kli because you already have that. It's like small in your eyes. And Katan the Aimlo, Dome Alavka Kli Gadol. And someone asks you for a small Kli, if you don't have it, it feels like a very large Kli because of the fact that you're lacking it. So for Moshe, Yiras Shamayim was a small thing. Because he was, it was very easy. It was very coming to him. Modem mishnakin. So if you say modem twice, it's like you're saying there are two different reshuyos. Amar bezera kola omer shema shema ka omer modem dami. If someone says shema twice, that's also like saying modem twice, which is also inappropriate. We should quiet him up. Mesve Mara asks a question. Hakoreya shema the kofla. If you say shema and then you double up, you repeat the various words in shema. Hareze meguna. It's a very bad thing to do. Okay, but meguna who dehavi b'shetuke lo mishnakinan le. It sounds like it's bad, but you don't actually go quieting him up. So why? We said that Shema is just as bad, right? Saying Shema is you should be mishtakin or so. Here it says that it's Meguna, that you shouldn't do that, but we don't actually silence him. So what's the difference? So lo kasha, hada amar milsa vitanila, the hada amar psuka vitanile. If he repeats word, that sounds like that there are two different, I don't want to say it the wrong way. I think word is where we say that it's okay. Rashi says, if you say, it's like you're just, I guess like you're being very careful with the words, but if you say pasuk, you say, and you say again, it's like you're talking to two different gods. If you say shema, it's like you're being very careful in the way that you say the psukim, that you say the words. What?
And if we say
then yeah, it's probably even worse.
Yeah, I mean, because people...
Yeah, that's actually in Tosas over here. I'm not going to get into that. But in Tosas, on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. The second Tosas on Lamed Aleph talks about it. We say, Hashem Hu Elokim, seven times. Like, that's pretty bad, too. But that there's sources for that in the Pesukim by Eliyahu. Amalei Rapapa Lavaye V'dilma Meikara Lo Kivin Daite V'lo Sof Kivin Daite. Maybe if you say Shema Yisrael, the whole Pasuk, and you say you repeat it twice, Shema Yisrael Shalakim Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael Shalakim Hashem Echad, maybe it's because you didn't have proper Kavanah the first time, so you're going to repeat it because you didn't have proper Kavanah. So why Mishtakin or so? It's not so bad. Maybe he is just because he didn't have good kavana. So Amalei, chavrusa klape shmaya miika. You talk to Hashem like you talk to your friends. Elo kivin daito meikara. Wait, who doesn't have kavana when they talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If he didn't have kavana, machinale b'mizparta denafcha ad mechavin daite. We should hit him over the head until he has proper kavana. It's so unbelievable for someone to not have kavana when they talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we spoke about a lot today. We spoke about the davening and responding to a king and that story of the Tsar. Spoke about stopping davening when you have a nachash, a snake, or a scorpion by you. We then spoke about Mashava Ruach and Vesintel Matar and Havdalah, Ichbon Esrei, and why we say specifically in Chonon Adas and the different opinions about saying, and we also had Havdalah Alakos as well as Havdalah Ichbon Esrei. And then we had the question about Havdalah, let's say there is no Atachon and Yantip is on Sunday, we have the Tefillah of Atodienu, and all of these various very important stuff that we had to basically rush through of Tamei Mitzvos and saying Shiluach HaKein is because of Hashem's mercy, and saying modem twice also is like Bereshit Shuyos. These are things that we should be avoiding and mishtaken also. Have a good day.